Good morning, church family. I'm excited to have you joining us this morning virtually. It's Friday today when I'm recording this, and it is just so beautiful outside. I couldn't help but come outside and record this. It's not too windy. The temperature's just perfect. It's not too noisy. I'm actually standing here at the site where a lot of us will be coming together at the 10 o'clock hour this Sunday. So you probably aren't joining us if you're watching that, but we're glad that you've joined us virtually. One of the things the last several months has helped us do is connect with a lot of you who are out of town, some of my family, other members' family, and different people that have found us in different ways. And we want to continue to offer this platform for us to be able to feel like a community here at Allen Creek. We know that our community, the whole idea of community, is changing, and this whole pandemic has kind of helped kind of hasten our need to understand that. And our church is trying to play catch up as best we can. So we are going to be continuing to meet in person into the future now, but we will still have this option available for those who aren't able to be with us in person. And so with all that said, I'm glad you're here with us today. We have an exciting day. We're kind of coming to an end of rolling out our new theme and mission as we talk a little bit about serving our community, which is really going to pivot us into our next discussion about how we can better serve our community. And I hope that you'll consider that this morning as you kind of work through that with us. How can you serve those around you? That is what we're going to see today, was Jesus's primary focus in his teaching. So I hope it's as beautiful today as it was the day that I recorded this, because it is just an ideal day and just a great day to be thankful to God for all that he's done. Thank you for joining us here at Allen Creek. I hope we'll see you in person soon, but otherwise, I'm glad that we have this opportunity to join virtually over the web. Now, hopefully we can get through this morning without an ambulance going by or a fire truck visiting the school or any other loud noises, but that it is just a beautiful day to break down God's word for you. I did want to begin by mentioning we have decided as a church that we had already planned to be in person this Sunday, today, the 11th, and we've decided that we're going to continue to meet in person moving forward each week. We're going to meet outside as long as it's nice. The forecast for Sunday is really nice right now, and we're going to hope that next Sunday is nice as well. But if it's not, we will meet inside, and we're going to have a list of just like anybody who's meeting in any format right now, there'll be a list of things that'll go out. Check your emails about that as far as wearing masks and some of the things that we're doing inside to help out. But we feel like it's a good time, and we know a lot of you, most of our members, are ready to do that. We know not everybody's there, and we understand that, respect that, and we'll continue to offer ways to connect. One of the great things about our church, and we've reinforced that over the last couple of weeks, is we're more than just people who meet on Sundays. We're connecting in lots of different ways, and so we're going to continue to do that into the future, but we are going to have a big change, and frankly, I think a lot of us just really miss the being able to be together on Sundays. And so we're going to move our time. We've met at 9:30 for several years. We're going to move to 10, get off the half hour, and start at 10 o'clock. And so these services online will be at 10. Moving forward, our in-person services will be at 10. And if you get a chance and can meet with us, we hope that you will be able to join us. So with no further ado, we'll get into our message for today. You know, one of the things I've learned about being a parent, and I'm no expert by any measure, but I have three kids, and Clark is going to be 16 in a couple months, if you can believe that. So for 16 years, we've been doing the parenting thing. And one of the things I've really come to acknowledge and believe is the power of teachable moments. It seems that the older my kids get, the more teachable moments that we have. Opportunities to kind of capture and offer some kind of life lesson. Being almost 16, Clark is getting ready to learn how to drive. And it seems like every time we take him out for a drive, there'll be a situation or a circumstance that offers an opportunity to teach him about something. We've had to talk about the cost of cars and filling up with gas and what insurance is and how that works. And as your kids get older, you just find more and more of those opportunities to talk about life lessons. And as a parent, you want to be able to capture every teachable moment that comes along. This week I had to have a procedure done on my finger. Had this thing growing on. It's been growing on it for months. It was really gross. And this week I realized I need to do something about it. And it became a teachable moment for our kids to talk about, when do you go to the doctor and when do you not go to the doctor? And how does health insurance work? And what's it like to not have health insurance, which we didn't for a long time? These are all teachable moments. And we throw around that word teachable moments. I think we all kind of know what it is, but I thought it would probably be helpful to just stop and reflect on what exactly is a teachable moment. It comes from the education field, actually. And some of our older teachers, maybe who are retired, not looking at anybody in particular, but if you went through the education field maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, you might have came across Robert Havergert's book called Human Development in Education. He kind of really brought the whole idea broad attention, and it's kind of been a mainstay ever since. He said this in his book: when the timing is right, the ability to learn a particular task will be possible. This is referred to a teachable moment, or as a teachable moment. It's important to keep in mind that unless the time is right, learning won't occur. Hence, it's important to repeat important points whenever possible so that a student has a teachable moment when it occurs, he or she can benefit from the knowledge. Now, teachable moments have kind of evolved into a broader sense and a more specific sense of just kind of, it's almost like an open door for knowledge. When something happens, you can use those moments to teach. But Havergert's point is important. It's the repetitive opportunities when it's developmentally appropriate. When the moment presents itself in the biggest sense of the way. You know, when you think about it, in the Bible, Jesus was the master of capitalizing on teachable moments. Whether it was calming the storm, or having Peter walk out on the water, or feeding the multitude, or clearing the temple. I mean, those were all teachable moments. He would even kind of create teachable moments by telling stories about stuff that was just around them. Weeds and seeds, sparrows, just everyday situations. He would capitalize on those moments. And I think the greatest teachable moment in Jesus' life was when he was on the way to the cross. And the way that the story is told in John, it's almost as if John is making the case that this was a teachable moment. In John 13, John kind of sets the whole story up. It's kind of at the pinnacle of Jesus' moment as he's about to go to the cross. He lays out the way he describes it was really as a perfectly teachable moment. So in John 13, beginning in the first verse, he says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. The devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything that he had, and that he had come from God and he was going to return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he had around them. Now, a way of understanding these first five verses is that Jesus had the ultimate teachable moment. Developmentally, using that education phraseology, developmentally it was perfect. Jesus knew. He was fully aware. You know, there's always these discussions about when Jesus knew that he was Jesus. Well, I don't know the exact answer, but John tells us by chapter 13, Jesus knew. And so it was developmentally the right moment. Judas had already gone to betray Jesus. That was already in the works. This was the perfect teachable moment. And so it stands to reason that whatever Jesus is going to share right now, it's not going to be a minor point. It's not going to be a kind of an addendum to some more important things. Jesus has them in the cusp of his hand. For whatever reason, this has always, to me, been one of the most visual moments in Jesus' life. I mean, I can picture sitting at the table and watching the uncertainty and confusion on the disciples' face. And so when Jesus got to Simon Peter, Peter said to him in verse 6, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash your feet, you don't belong to me." Then Simon Peter exclaimed, "Well, then wash my hands and my head as well, not just my feet." And Jesus replied, "A person who's already had a bath all over doesn't need to wash except for his feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean." Well, not all of you, because Jesus knew who was going to betray him. That's what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked. This is where he really has them, in the palm of his hands. You can just see the confusion on their faces. And he says, "Do you understand what I did?" And they're all going, "No, we have no idea." "You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than the master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." So Jesus has this great moment. I mean, all the workings are there. All the buildup is there. He has them in the palm of his hand. And he gives them what has to be maybe the most important lesson he's ever given them, right? I mean, what else would he have saved for this moment, knowing that he was about to die, knowing that he was about to leave them? He had spent all these years with these disciples, knowing that they were ultimately going to take over the ministry when he left. And so at this moment, he has the opportunity, knowing that his time, his days were numbered, his hours at this point were numbered, that they were going to take things over, and that the opportunity for leadership, there was going to be a vacuum with Jesus gone, and the opportunity for leadership was going to be there, that they may assert some power. They may assert some authority moving forward, and it's easy to manipulate. Power is like Gollum's ring. It's a powerful thing. And how are they going to manage that? And that is what Jesus decides to use this really final formal teaching. That's what he chooses to talk about. And he sets for them an example, and he says, "You are to be servants of one another." You're not to build some great institution. He doesn't tell them that. You're not to create this huge movement. He doesn't tell them that. He says what you're supposed to be all about is serving everyone else. But like the magnitude of Jesus' success, the power of his ministry is going to be on display, not by the magnitude of some building, not by some huge movement, but on the ability to serve others. It had to have blindsided them. They kept expecting some moment to come where Jesus would say, "All right, now we're going to be powerful. Now we're going to give it to the Romans. Now we're going to amass a militia," or whatever it is they may have been expecting. Jesus turns those tables upside down like he did the ones in the temple, and he says, no, you're going to serve each other. And we should expect nothing less. Paul said in Philippians that Jesus couldn't really grasp this idea of being equal with God. And so he made himself he took on the nature of a servant. And that becomes the one who we've given our lives to as Christians. That's the one who had the message that we're to follow as Christians. And so when we bring this whole message full circle, not just from today, but the last couple of weeks, as we've been talking about our church and what we're supposed to be about, and we talked about worship and about our vertical relationship with God being foremost. And our relationship and experience in the presence of God drives us to want to grow deeper. And so we talked about our commitment to each other as a church and helping to grow more spiritually deep and mature in our faith and as a church family. But finally, we come to what ultimately will drive us. Because as we experience our relationship with God, as we're driven to growth by one another, we are ultimately pushed out into our community and our world. Another teachable moment comes at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. It's the very last thing that's recorded in Matthew. Looks a little differently in the other books. But you can kind of, again, picture it the way John set up his gospel as a really teachable moment. Well, here is the last thing Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew. And so it's a teachable moment. When the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when he saw them, he worshiped them, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the very end of the age." Now it's awesome that Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew are to go. The church was never intended to be this self-serving institution. And just like any institutions, we have the tendency to just kind of default into self-service. One of the things that we desire for our church moving forward is for us to truly find a heart for service and others. Now, we've given it lots of lip service, and I don't think it's ever been disingenuous. We believe that we are called to others, and we do believe we are called to care for others. And our church has done several things through our history to try to kind of have this ministry of service. For several weeks, even though our church hasn't been meeting regularly, we were able to open our doors of our building to a preschool here in our community. And I have the opportunity to be here during the day. And the first couple days when these parents who had spent all these months with their kids and just had this desire to let their kids be with others and to be safe and protected, we were able to provide that here at Alum Creek. And it's not just an aside thing that we do. It's a core part of what we want to be about because it serves our community. This summer, I was able to be here when the Olentangy Sandlot was here, and there were kids everywhere. It's the biggest gathering of people I've seen for months, and they were safe, and they were careful, and they provided our community an opportunity to let their kids be kids and to really kind of find some bearings in these challenging times. I was on a phone call this week, on a Zoom call this week, to a man in Dubai. Kind of interesting how our Zoom world opens us up. Several of our church members are aware, well, most of our church family is aware, several of you may know that the Indian Springs Church of Christ, which eventually would move up here and become the Alum Creek Church, back in the 1980s had a real vibrant and passion for a small community on the eastern coast of India. And they raised money and they built an orphanage there, and we have supported that for all these decades. And it's been a challenge to kind of keep in touch with things there. And one of the things that we want to do moving forward as a church is we want to kind of reinvigorate that ministry. We're actively pursuing people who are on the ground there, who can give us a better picture of what's going on and make sure that the resources that we're providing are used well and are helping people learn about God and serve that community. We have a real passion to see that kind of birth to life again. It's just kind of gotten kicked down the road for lots of different reasons. Those kinds of things happen. But we believe that we're called to service. We're called to serving our community and our neighbors here in Lewis Center. That's why we do things like the preschool, why we do things like Central Ohio Work Camp. We were able to, in the midst of this crazy summer, paint a house for one of our neighbors down in the Clintonville area, and just had a fantastic week of service that I was so blessed to be a part of. These are all things that are important to our church. This building stands here not as some beacon of this church that comes together every week to worship God only. It stands as a representative for a group of people who care about this community, who want to be vested in this community. And one of our goals and one of our commitments moving forward is that this church becomes more enmeshed with the heartbeat of Lewis Center. We've not always done a good job of that. It's been a challenge. A lot of our folks, they live in different places, and it's just, we've just been out of sync with this community. And so kind of moving forward, we're going to work hard to make this church beat more along the rhythm of the community that we're a part of. One of the things that's come our way, and it's a great opportunity for us, and I want to share this with everybody. We'll be talking about it this morning in person. But on October 30th, Friday, the last Friday of the month, a service club over at Olentangy High School wants to use our property for a drive-in movie. They had one a couple months ago, and it was a great success. And they reached out to me again this week and said, hey, we'd like to do it on October 30th. And I said, that is a great idea. Let us know how we can be a part of it. And so we're going to be talking this week about some ways that our church family can be a part of this. And this will just be a small thing to help us move forward. Because see, the idea is when we want to serve others, we have to be creative. And we have to make it a point of what we're doing. We have to show some initiative. And that's what we're really going to be after in the coming weeks. It derives straight out of the heart and ministry of Jesus, who said, I want my people to be about serving others. First and foremost, they weren't his dying words, but they were close to his dying words as he was preparing for the cross. I want my people to serve each other. And so, church family, let's find ways to serve others. It's a call to you and your individual lives, that you and your family find ways to serve your neighbors and your communities. And it's also an institutional call for our church to find ways that we can serve others. God has blessed us with so much. Let's find ways that we can serve others like Jesus wants us to.
After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to surround your table as a family of believers who want nothing more, Lord, than to commune with you this morning. We thank you so much for the blessings we have. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, the sacrifice, the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, and Lord, him conquering death for each and every one of us. We are so thankful for this sacrifice and for this conquering of death. It gives us hope, the hope we have of seeing him again and forever being in his presence, forever praising his name. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.